any direction without seeing a cross. It's often perched, as Max Lucado puts it, on top of a chapel, carved into a gravestone, engraved into a ring, or suspended on a chain. The cross is the universal symbol of Christianity, isn't it? An odd choice. Think of it. Strange that a tool of torture would become the symbol, the embodiment of hope. The symbols of other faiths are so much more upbeat. Think of it. The Star of David for the Jews, a crescent and a star for the Muslims, and a lotus for Buddhism. But when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to Christianity, it is an instrument of execution. Would you ever wear a tiny electric chair around your neck? Or an executioner's noose carved into your finger? Would you print the picture of a firing squad on your business card? Think of it. But yet, the cross is imprinted everywhere. We cannot do without this glorious message that the cross brings. As we come to the final talk in the series, The Heart of God, where else is the heart of God displayed more clearly than in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning, I want to invite you to spend a few minutes with me meditating on the cross of Jesus. Would you do that? Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? This is the most important time of the morning, and I want you to take it all in. We are going to read together Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 to 37. Are you happy to read it together? Yeah? There is power in the reading of God's word, so give it everything you have. Are you ready, church? Yeah. I didn't hear that. Are you ready, church?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's go. One, two, three. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots, and sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Please be seated. May the Lord bless you upon the reading of his word. Can you picture the scene right here in front of you? Hanging on the cross is the King of Jews. Who is this King? Dr. S.M. Lockridge famously reminds us of this King hanging on the cross. He puts it this way: do you know him? Well, my King is a King of knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the master of the mighty. He is the captain of the conquerors. He is the head of the heroes. He is the leader of the legislatures. He is the overseer of the overcomers. He is the governor of the governors. He is the prince of the princes. And he is the promise of the sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he is indescribable. He is indescribable. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my King hanging on that cross. It's powerful, isn't it, when you think of it? The maker of the universe hanging on that tree that ghastly Friday morning. And what caught my attention is that while Jesus was nailed to that cross, while the maker of the universe is nailed to the cross, there were a bunch of soldiers sitting there and gambling for his garment. Can you imagine the contrast of this? The King of Glory hung on a cross, and here they are playing poker to somehow claim those blood-stained garments. What an irony. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the story of a God who is willing to strip naked. A God who is willing to give up everything for mankind, whilst humanity often sits at the foot of the cross playing poker. These soldiers are perhaps gambling with the hope that somehow some entertainment would numb their pain. They're somehow getting lottery tickets with the hope that somehow their luck would change and fortune would favor them. Somehow, they imagine another chance and another attempt, and my life might change for the better. But all along, right behind them, was the King of Glory, giving not just his clothes, but his utmost drop of blood. Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing I want you to take home with you, there are only two things I want you to take home, but I want you to take home that at the cross, God gave everything. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, at the cross, God gave everything. Now turn to the neighbor you like and say, at the cross, God gave everything. Sorry? Ian refused to talk to his wife. At the cross, God gave everything. This is the picture, as I said, of the maker of the universe not only taking the form of man. In John chapter 1, it says, the Word became. But he didn't stop just there. In Philippians chapter 2, it says he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he took the form of man and lived a lowly life. And as if that wasn't enough, as if the humiliation he suffered and the whipping and the scourging wasn't enough, this God of the universe was willing to strip down and be naked and give everything he has to somehow get into your brain and my brain the simple truth that God is for us. Hallelujah. What more can I do, humanity? What more? You tell me and I will do it. You give me the worst you have and I will do it. But somehow I want to get into your brain and tell you the truth that I care. What did Jesus achieve on the cross? The first thing was to display the love of God, the love of heaven. John chapter 10 and 11 says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. In John 15 and 13, it says, greater love has no one than lay down his life for his friends. Philippians 2 and 8 says, being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient even to the point of death. The first thing heaven wants to communicate is God loves, God cares, God is for me. Ah. You know, we as people are often driven by feelings, aren't we? Aren't we? I don't feel it. How many of you have been there? This morning I woke up, I'm trying to pray. Hello, Emilita. I'm trying to pray. And have you been there where something doesn't work and you can't pray and your mind is all over the place? Have you been there? I'm not feeling it. We are a people driven by feelings as the wind. I felt it, I didn't feel it. And when I don't feel it, I somehow imagine God has changed his opinion about me. Or when I've got something wrong, when I did something wrong or I messed up or, you know, knowingly, unknowingly, whatever it is, somehow I feel God has changed his opinion about me. The Bible is categorical that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. God never changes his opinion about me. So this morning, while my house is asleep, I'm walking in my lounge confessing, Lord, I know I don't need to rely on my feelings right now. I know the truth that you are for me. I know the fact that your heart bleeds for me. I thank you that I am accepted. I thank you that you would come and die for my sake if it was needed. That's how much you love me. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge you not to go by feelings. Don't go by your emotions. Go by the truth and the fundamental essence of what God displays on the cross of Calvary, that he is for you. His heart bleeds for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. The first thing God displayed on the cross is the extent of his love. The second thing is that God dealt with my sin and rendered Satan helpless. He defeated Satan. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on my behalf, that we might become righteous in God. Colossians 2 and 14 says, he canceled the written code against me, and he humiliated Satan on the cross. Hebrews 2 and 14, listen to this. Since then children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Are you listening to me? On the cross, Jesus rendered Satan powerless. Jesus dealt with my sin. Jesus dealt with my curse. Jesus dealt with the wrath of God, which was to be mine. And he settled the score that you and I might walk in freedom. Now, it is not cool, I know, these days to talk about sin, is it? The other day I was talking to my boss about something, and he said, Sam, I'm an atheist. You know why? Because I don't like all this guilt trappings Christianity brings. He said, they generate guilt and they milk it to the core. And which is why I'm a proclaimed atheist and so is my wife. You know, there's a story about an emperor. You'll know this story, but listen to me. There's a story of this emperor who loved clothes. If you come to my house every morning, my biggest battle to get Alicia to school is about what does she wear. Her mother will put out a dress for her, but she'll never wear what is put out. She has to go to the wardrobe and choose it. And then halfway through, she'll change her mind. And that doesn't go with this. And she's three. But there was this emperor who loved clothes. And he would change clothes three times a day. And he liked to look cool. But he then heard of these two wonderful tailors who produced invisible clothes. Fabric nobody could see. Only the intelligent and the clever people could see this fabric. So the emperor heard about this, and he decided to go down to their workshop. When he got there, the tailor said, we are the magicians of tailoring. We produce clothes with only the intelligent and the clever and the cool can see. If you're dumb and you're daft, you can't see nothing. And they said, do you see this beautiful furniture around here? There was nothing there. But the king kind of thought, if I say I don't, I'd look like a fool. So he said, yeah, that's wonderful furniture. And he said, I love the fabric on top of it. And they said, why don't we make you a glorious robe that you've never seen before for the royal parade? And the king said, yeah, let's do that. And so you know the story. On the day of the parade, they get the king out and they tell the king, you know, this cloth is so light and airy, you'd feel as if you're not wearing anything. But that's the quality of this cloth. And only the clever can see it. So the king goes out, pardon me, but naked, into the parade. He walks around and nobody can say nothing to the king, can they? Because it's only the clever and the intelligent who can see this fabric. Everyone else are fools, which is why you can't see nothing. Until a young child blurts out, "Mommy, why is the king naked?" And everyone laughs. Now the king is caught in a dilemma. If he admits that he's naked, then he'll look like a fool anyway. So he kept on with the pretext that this was the flowing robes, and he had his courtiers walking behind him, holding the imaginary trail of his garment. This is the story, ladies and gentlemen, of the emperor with new clothes or no clothes. Often, humanity walks in this madness, don't they? We like to pretend sin doesn't exist. We like to pretend everything is relative. We like to pretend there is no fundamental truth. We like to pretend there is no morality. There is this lady, once somebody was sharing the gospel with her, gave her a tract, and she came up with the same argument to say, I don't believe I'm a sinner. And if I believe into something like that, it would lead to guilt, and guilt can lead to anger and resentment, inadequacy, and it would suggest that I'm an inappropriate human being. And the person asked her, "Have you ever done anything wrong?" She said, "Yeah, maybe I have done some things wrong, but then aren't you guilty of it?" Isn't it better for a person who's done something wrong to confess their guilt and get over it, rather than pretend guilt and morality doesn't exist, so you can do anything you like, you can live as though you want? Because God doesn't exist, neither does sin, neither does morality. But the Bible and the cross of Jesus Christ proclaims the fundamental truth that sin is real, that Satan is real, that unless you come to the foot of the cross, unless you come to Jesus, unless you come to the righteousness that comes through the saving death of Jesus Christ, there is no redemption, there is no freedom, there is no way out for humanity, whether you like it or not. You can pretend you're wearing the glorious garments like the emperor's new clothes, but the Bible tells me and teaches me freedom and liberty comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross tells me Jesus loves me, Jesus cares, Jesus is for me. The cross tells me sin is real and it needs to be dealt with by coming to the foot of the cross where Jesus died on my behalf, and by you and me inviting Jesus into our hearts, confessing our guilt and seeking forgiveness. Immediately there's a transaction which transforms our life and you become a follower of Jesus Christ. And the third thing that heaven did on the cross is that it restored my relationship with God. So three things the cross did for me. One, it told me of God's love for me. Two, it told me that sin is dealt with. Three, it restores my relationship with God. This is important. I know it's hard, sometimes boring, you might say, but these truths are fundamental. Romans 5 and 10 says, while we were still enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm reading these truths out because it's no longer cool to talk about sin. It is no longer cool to talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. Somehow we want a Christianity that is all about do-gooding and everybody's going to be happy and God is for you. The Bible is clear. Unless sin is dealt with, ladies and gentlemen, unless you and I come to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no transformation or hope for humanity. Would you give the Lord a round of applause there? Ephesians 2 and 16 says, and might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile together. The cross is what brings reconciliation, hallelujah, between Jew and Gentile. It's the cross that brings reconciliation between races. It is a cross that brings reconciliation between warring factions. This is why I love Hope Church. You know why? Because you look around the pews and you see the blood of Jesus Christ bringing blacks and whites and Indians and Chinese and Filipinos and everyone together. This is what the cross of Jesus Christ is meant to achieve. It is a shame and a disgrace that at times people have missed the truth that reconciliation the cross is meant to bring. Oh, I pray that we would drive the truth of reconciliation with God and reconciliation with man. Now, hear me out. You'll say, Sam, I know all this. Why are you harping on about this? I am saved. I'm sealed. I'm done and dusted. I got the ticket. God gave everything at the cross. I'm really sorry you're sitting in front of me. You're just getting the anointing out of my mouth. Most people don't sit here when I'm preaching because of the spray. But you're the only lucky one who's just receiving it. I apologize. See, Romans 8 and 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us, how much more will he not give us all things? Are you listening to me? If God displaying his love wasn't enough, if God dealing with sin and shame wasn't enough, if God restoring and reconciling my relationship wasn't enough, this God on the cross who has given up everything, including his clothes and his last drop of blood, says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us, how much more will he not give us, graciously give us all things? Listen to Ephesians 1 and 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. What spiritual blessings? Now I'm going to challenge you. You're going to find it difficult, but you've got to walk with me. This is something that the Lord is challenging me on. You know, sometimes we are like those soldiers at the foot of the cross. We are very, very happy to gamble for the clothes. We are very, very happy to sit there and wait for our chance. But right there on the cross is my pardon for sin. Right there on the cross is the maker of heaven and earth. I settle for pittance whilst the abundance of God is at hand and at display. Are you listening to me? I live in a mindset of negativity. I live in a mindset of defeat. I live in a mindset of resentment. I live in a mindset where I'm bartering and counting things all the time. You did this, so I will do that. While the abundance of God is displayed on the cross, screaming out to me, will you look to me? Will you look to me? Will you look to me? There is another way. You don't need to gamble for the bloodstained rags. You just need to come to the foot of the cross and say, Father, I want to walk with you. I want you to deal with my sin. I want you to deal with my shame. I want you to deal with my past. I want you to transform me. Jesus on the cross gave everything. Can I ask you this question that I ask of myself? Jesus gave everything. What are you willing to give back to him? Sometimes we live a life of convenience, don't we? We pursue the Lord when it suits us, when it works for us. When it doesn't work for us, when nobody is looking, when we think nobody will know, or when we think the road is getting too hard, we look for shortcuts. But the question Jesus has is, I give everything I have to you. Are you prepared to give everything you have back? Think of a relationship. How many of you have been in a relationship, in a romantic relationship? How many of you are prepared to walk in a romantic relationship where you give everything, but the other person only gives you 20%, has 25 others in their life? Are you listening to me? If God was willing, is willing to give me everything, what am I willing to give back to the Lord? Galatians 2 and 20 says, it is no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives in me. The question in my life is, does this align to what the Word of God says? Is Jesus first in my life in this decision? If I take up that job, if I take up that alliance, if I take up that opportunity, if I pursue that feeling, if I pursue that emotion, if I pursue that resentment, if I pursue that temptation, where is Jesus in this equation? Ladies and gentlemen, may I invite you to bring Jesus at the forefront of your life. Give up everything you have when the Master comes to you, lying on the cross, naked, shedding his last drop of blood. He invites you into a total surrender and a relationship with him. He says, come and live out of the abundance of heaven. Stop living from the little bit you get out of the gambling and the games you play here and there, by the gossiping you get here and there, by the manipulation that you get here and there. Hallelujah. Heaven beckons us. From the gambler, you become the giver. From the manipulator at the foot of the cross, you become the motivator who walks in the power of God. Are you listening to me? Heaven invites us to live the fullness of God. Heaven invites us to live transformed lives, absolutely surrendered in the hands of God. Heaven invites us to live from God's abundance. So that's the first thing I want you to take home. God gave everything. What are you willing to give? Are you willing to live out of God's abundance? Or are you going to scrounge? Are you going to play games? Are you going to make do? The second thing that the Lord is, this is the last point. The second thing that the Lord has been laying on my heart is right there on the cross. Right there on the cross. One, whilst heaven gave everything, the second thing heaven does is that heaven bridges the gap between who I am and who I need to be. Are you listening to me? I am a sinner. There is no way I can become a saint. But there on the cross, Jesus bridges the gap from who I am to who I need to be. Hallelujah. My relationship with God is broken, busted. There is no way I can experience him. But there at the cross, heaven bridges the gap. And you say, Sam, that story is all true. And I know it. And I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think of Jesus. Think with me here. The thing that Jesus did all the time was bridging gaps. Think of the wedding of Cana, the first miracle Jesus did. What was he doing? They fell short, didn't they? They fell short of a provision, and there was Jesus bridging a gap. Think of the time when Peter was short of money to give to the tax collectors. Do you remember the time? What was Jesus doing? Jesus was bridging a gap. Think of the time when people came with sickness and they say, there is no way we can get out of this pickle. I've given all my money to the doctors, but there is nothing I can do. But there was Jesus bridging a gap. You name it, Jesus was bridging a gap. Whether it was Peter when his character fell short, when he said, I'm short-tempered and I disown you all the time. There. At the foot of the cross, Jesus bridges the gap. Do you remember the time Paul says, I'm short by stature. I don't come to you with eloquence. I don't come to you with persuasive words, but I come to you with a message of the cross. That is foolishness to them that are perishing, but unto us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, as you walk through life, I want you to remember that the cross is what bridges your gap. The cross is what bridges your gap. Each time I walk into work or I come into different situations, the Lord reminds me, when I come to a place where I know this is where I am, but that is where I need to be, and there is no way I can get there, I remind myself it is the cross of Jesus that bridges my gap. Are you listening to me? How many of you have hit ceilings? Mark and I pray every week. And over the last few weeks, this is what we've been praying. There are times we hit a ceiling. And we say, Lord, we've come this far. If you want us to go to the next level, we don't have the capacity for it. We don't have the ability for it. And usually those cycles come in about 3 years. Yeah? And the last few weeks we've been praying, Father, this time the ceiling has come much quicker. We've grown, we've come to a place where we think, Father, I don't know, I don't have the ability to go beyond this. Unless you bridge the gap, I can't make it. Are you listening to me? How many of you have come to work situations? How many of you come to situations in your relationships? How many of you come to your situations in your finances? How many of you come into situations within your own character where you're just frustrated with yourself? Why do I keep doing the same silly thing again and again? There are times where I've said to the Lord, I'm sick and tired of making this mistake. I wish I make a new mistake. I'm just tired, Lord, of making this mistake again. Have you been there? But what Jesus reminds me is it is Jesus who bridges the gap. Sitting at the foot of the cross is not good enough. Sitting and gambling there and with hope is not good enough. The only way I can have hope is by looking to Jesus and calling upon the name of the Lord. That is the only thing that brings me salvation. That is the only thing that shifts me from my position of inadequacy to my position of adequacy. It takes me from my point of need where my need is fulfilled. Hallelujah. I was at work the other day. I always bore you with my inspectors coming. They're coming gone. We did fabulously well. And then I am back hitting a ceiling to say, Master, you brought me through that hell. But now, if I want to go further ahead, I don't have it in me. In 2 weeks, I've got to interview for my own job. There are scores of others who are applying for the job. And I'm saying, Master, there are cleverer people out there. There are much more able people out there, but if you want me in that position, this is your purpose for me. I'm not going because of my ability. I'm not going because I can do it and I'm cool. I know my inadequacies, but if you want me there, it is your cross that bridges my gap. It is your cross that takes care of my inadequacy. It is your cross that helps me write a report that I know I don't have the ability to write. It is your cross that is able to help me deal with that conflict in the team with a person I can't cope. Are you getting me? The challenge I'm bringing to you this afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, is come to the foot of the cross, because God in the cross gives you everything. The abundance of God is at the cross. Don't make the cross an experience of salvation. Make it an everyday experience. Come to the foot of the cross every day. The next time you fall out with your wife, come to the foot of the cross. The next time you feel, I'm struggling, I don't know what to do, come to the cross for validation. Are you listening to me? When somebody talks ill of you, don't go under your duvet. Don't go find a bottle of wine. Come to the cross for validation. If the Father says, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased, that is all you need. Hallelujah. It is the cross that bridges my gap. It is the cross that gives me the abundance of heaven. In a moment, we are going to break bread. Hallelujah. I want you to look to the cross. I'm going to read out Dr. S.M. Lockridge's famous words again. Do you know him? Do you know the one who hangs on the cross? Well, he is my king. My king is a king of knowledge. He is the wellspring of wisdom. He is the master of the mighty, the captain of conquerors. He is the head of the heroes. He is the leader of the legislatures. He is the overseer of the overcomers. He is the governor of the governors. He is the prince of princes. He is the king of kings, the lord of lords. He is my king. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love, ladies and gentlemen, never changes. His burden is light. I wish I could describe him. He is indescribable. He is indescribable. May I invite you to come to the foot of the cross? Would you close your eyes with me? In a moment, we're going to break bread. Scotty's going to play us some music, but I want you to come into some transaction with God. If you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never invited Jesus and given your life over to God, may I invite you to come to the foot of the cross. Enough of playing poker. Enough of trying to gamble for some blood-stained clothes with the hope that it'll make a difference. It is Jesus that'll make a difference in your life. Come to the maker of the universe and say, Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my life and be the Lord and be the King of my life? If you make this prayer, Jesus promised he will come and live inside you and transform your life. If you are a believer, there are two challenges you need to go home with. God gave everything. Will you live out of his abundance? Number two, God is a God who bridges your gap. Will you rely on him to bridge your gaps? Will you stop relying on yourself? Will you stop looking at people? Will you invite Jesus to bridge your gaps? Will you stand on your feet with me right now? I know the presence of God is powerful in this place. The Lord tells me there are some of you who have come to this place with struggles. You've come here saying, Sam, I'm sick and tired of making this mistake. Lord, I'm sick and tired of living in this sin. Lord, I'm sick and tired of the rubbish I go through. I want out. I want the Lord to come and rescue me. If that is you, I want you to forget who's next to you. I want you to look to Jesus right now. Say, Jesus, I need you to bridge my gap. I don't want to live in this dirt anymore. I want a change of behavior. I want a change of mindset. I need you, Jesus. There are some of you who come here with anxiety this morning. Some of you are struggling in your relationships this morning. I need you to come to the foot of the cross and say, Father, would you make up for the deficit in my relationship? Would you make up for the deficit in my conflict? I'm struggling at work. I'm struggling with people. I don't know what to do. The King of Glory is here. Will you come and say, Lord, bridge my gap because nobody else can. Would you come to Jesus this afternoon with your need and say, Master, bridge my gap. Bridge my gap. Bridge my gap.